This conference is being recorded.
Upad. And I also offer my humble obeisances to the feet of all the Vaishnavas who are present on this call today. You are the rarest of rare souls who are eager to hear about the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the goal of life, to hear about Krishna. The human body is specifically made for this. All other duties that we have in this world are only superfluous. And Krishna tells this to Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam by saying, Nridehaṁ ādyam sulabham sudulabham plavam sukalpam gurukarnavarvam mayana kulyena nabasvateritam. He describes the human body to be like a boat. And he says this boat can actually cross over the entire ocean of the material world. That's how strong this boat is, the human body. And with the boat, you have to have a captain. So the captain is the spiritual master. And then you also have to have favorable breezes, he says. And those are the shastras, the words that Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita and the words that his devotees speak in the Srimad Bhagavatam. By taking those instructions, by staying on this boat, one can cross over the dangerous ocean of the material world just by using this human body. So I congratulate you all for attaining the human form and for taking full advantage of it. And the process of devotional service is so nice. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself that if one runs in devotional service, that is the Bhagavat Marg, it means the direct process of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any other motives, then even if one runs with one's eyes closed, one will not trip and fall. So there are 64 processes of devotional service. These were all taught to Sanatana Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he took instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami heard about all these 64 processes. And those are enumerated in the Nectar of Devotion and also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But something very astounding came out of that conversation at the end that will be really important for all of us to hear today, because life in the modern day is very difficult. Everyone's jammed by so many different responsibilities just to maintain oneself in this age when there's so many so-called time-saving devices. We have no more time, practically, for our spiritual life. So, out of his kindness, after giving the 64 processes of devotional service, Lord Chaitanya also spoke about 5 of the 64, which are extremely potent, and which are the most important out of the 64 items. Of course, all of them are important, and if anyone performs even one of the devotional processes out of the 64 with sincerity, he or she will attain success. But there are 5 which are particularly powerful. And I'll read to you from the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter number 22. And this begins on text 128. Sadhu Sangha Nam Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Bash Sri Murtira Shraddhaya Seban. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. Text 129. Sakala sadhana sreshte e pancha anga Krishna prema janmai e panchera alpashanga. These 5 limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these 5 awakens love for Krishna. I'm going to repeat that. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. Text 130. Shraddha Visheshata Priti Srimurtir Angrisevane. With love and full faith, one should worship the lotus feet of the deity. So he's five. And the five are association with devotees, chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in Mathura, and worshiping the deity. These are the five out of the 64. Then he said, he quotes from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, with love and full faith, one should worship the lotus feet of the deity. Text 131. Srimad Bhagavatartanam Aswado Rasika Saha Sajati Yashraye Snigde Sadho Sangha Svatovare. One should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees, and one should associate with the devotees who are more advanced than oneself and who are endowed with a similar type of affection for the Lord. Text 132. Nam Sankirtanam Sriman Mathura Mandale Stiti. One should congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord and reside in Vrindavan. Text 133. Druhu Hadbhuta Virye Smin Shraddha Dure Stupanchake. Yatra Swa Alpo Pisambanda Sadhyam Bhava Janmane. Particularly listen to this translation. The power of these five principles is so wonderful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. I'll repeat. The power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. I'll read it one more time. The power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. So, this is a profound statement, and it's absolutely true that the power of devotional service is so great that even by being a little connected with these five activities out of the 64, one will make advancement from whatever position one's in and gradually, step by step, come up to the highest position of devotional service. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, there are many wonderful statements made about what the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam is. And in the very second verse of the Bhagavatam, it is stated, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So remember back to this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that even without faith in them, that includes hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with him. And again, in the Sanskrit to this verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the word is su-alpo. And you all know this from the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Swalpamapya Siddharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat, that just by a little advancement in devotional service, and he says a very little, because alpa means little, and sualpa means tiny, tiny. So just with a tiny bit of connection or advancement in devotional service, Krishna says, one can be saved from the most dangerous type of fear. That means falling back down again, losing this rare human form of life, and falling back down into the lower species where one doesn't have an opportunity to come out. And again, in this verse, regarding these five processes of devotional service, including hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the statement again is su'alpa, just a tiny, tiny bit of connection. And isn't it profound that he says, even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken their dormant love of God simply by being a little connected with them. I have a friend, Keshava Bharti Das Goswami. We joined around the same time in San Francisco. And some years ago, about 15 years ago, his mother passed away. And he was living in India at the time, so he came back to be with her because she didn't have anybody else. She was alone in the world. And all her life, she had been inimical towards devotional service. She was a dyed-in-the-wool Christian and didn't like the fact that Keshava Bharti Maharaj had become a devotee. But near the end of her life, she got Alzheimer's, and that kind of dementia makes you forget a lot of things. And one of the things that she forgot was that she didn't like Krishna. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham pratisanivishto mataksmitir jnanam apohanam cha, that I'm the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And for those who are blessed by devotee association, sometimes when they forget the thing, something, by Krishna's mercy, that's the right thing to forget. So in that state of forgetfulness that she didn't like Krishna, she became offenseless. In other words, she didn't have any kind of malice in her heart towards her sons being a devotee. Although she didn't have a taste for devotional service, when Keshava Bharti Maharaj showed up at her house and began taking care of her, she had cancer, so she was on a progressive decline in health, and it was inevitable that she would leave her body in a very short time. He began to take care of her and live in her house. He was doing his puja in her house. He had a Govardhan Shila. And she showed little signs of interest in what he was doing. And one of the things he began doing for her every night was to read from the Krishna book, which is from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And at first, she showed indifference, although she tolerated. And night by night, he would bring out the Krishna book and read to her. And gradually, gradually, he noticed that she was sitting up, listening carefully. Then she was leaning into it and listening with rapt attention after about a week. And then she began to ask him to read from the Krishna book. And then it became her main solace in life just to hear the Krishna book. And she became so absorbed in hearing the sound vibration of the Krishna book that Keshava Bharti Maharaj could notice in her a marked advancement in devotional service, that her heart began to change, and she became interested in chanting Hare Krishna, which she did, actually, before she left her body. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the verse I read you from the second shloka in the Bhagavatam says something very interesting. Sadyo hridi avarujyate. And that means that when you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, the vibration of the Bhagavatam itself is so rarefied, it's so purifying, it is transcendentally powerful because it's Krishna himself. that just by hearing it, Krishna becomes captured within your heart. It means it's even attractive to Krishna, the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So sadya hridya varudyate, that anyone who hears the Bhagavatam, and of course referring to our su-alpam, that even if you're su-alpam pi sambandana, even if you have a little sambandha, a little connection, tiny little bit of connection with Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis, that Krishna will begin to appear in your heart because the Srimad Bhagavatam is even attractive to Krishna. And of course, we all know that the greatest sages who are above contact with the three modes of material nature are also attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. This was proved by the case of Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev, of course, was the guru of Maharaj Prikshit, and the conversation which took place on the bank of the Ganga when Maharaj Prikshit was about to leave his body is the subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the conversation between Prikshit and Shukadev Goswami. Many of you probably already know that Shukadev Goswami was a liberated soul. He was the son of Srila Vyasadeva, Vedavyas. And when he came into the womb of his mother, he stayed there for 16 years because he was already detached from the material world, even within the womb, and he didn't want anything to do with it. And he didn't want to come out either. As Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, I'm not afraid of you, my Lord, even though you have sharp, pinching teeth, you have a garland of intestines after killing my father, you have high wedge-like ears, and your roaring is scaring everyone in the universe. I'm not afraid of that form. What I'm afraid of is your external energy, because it's so powerful, inexorable, and I don't want to have to fall down by being in contact with it. So Shukadev Goswami was a liberated soul like that, and he thought, I won't come out of the womb. Even Krishna had to come and tell him, you can come out, you won't become attached. So finally, after 16 years, Shukadev came out of the womb. And what did he do? As soon as he was born, he took off. He didn't want anything to do with family life, even though his father was Srila Vyasadev himself. And with Vyas calling after him, Shukadev took off to the forest for meditation and to remain detached in a secluded place because he was absorbed in sameness. He saw everything as the same. So Srila Vyasadeva had a plan to attract him back. And as the traditional oral story goes, he sent out people like a woodcutter into the forest to because from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Shukadev Goswami heard those shlokas, his mind, completely detached from the material world and from the modes of material nature, became attracted to the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam shlokas. And he came back and studied the Srimad Bhagavatam under his great father, Srila Vyasadeva. And of course, Parikshit Maharaj, when he found out he was going to die within 7 days, having been cursed by the Brahmin's son, Sringi. He was a great Raja Rishi. It means even though he was a king, he was also a Rishi. He was detached from the material world. He took it as a blessing that he had been cursed to die in 7 days. This is advancement in devotional service. These symptoms are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Shantir Avyakta Kalatvam Virakta Manashunyata. First thing is, forgiveness, Shantir, that Parikshit Maharaj is given as an example of this quality of advancement in devotional service, that even the greatest reversal, and even though someone had cursed him to die unnecessarily, he accepted it, and he forgave the person who cursed him. And he said, actually, that I'm such a lowly person that this is the Lord's mercy on me to pull me out of my entanglement in the material world. So he went and sat down on the bank of the Ganga, wanting instruction about what to do at the time of death. He had 7 days to live. This is the context of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So someone might say, how's that relevant to me? Well, we also have 7 days to live. Every one of us. Because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7 days, we'll die on one of them. And we don't know which one. So that's seven. Shukadev Goswami showed up amidst a huge throng of other sages, munis, yogis, who were competing to give the right instruction to Parikshit Maharaj. But when they saw Shukadev Goswami, they all stood up out of respect. And Shukadev Goswami sat down, and the king inquired about what was his duty at the time of death, how to remember the Lord. And Shukadev Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam so that he could attain complete perfection in this life. Remembering this, Suta Goswami, describing to the sages at Naimasanya the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam, receives a question from Shonaka Rishi, and that question related to Shukadev Goswami, that he was completely liberated. Why did he take up hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and studying this vast literature? It's huge, 18,000 verses. So Suta Goswami answered him, Itam Bhuto Gano Hari. He said, because it's the same quality of Krishna. It is Krishna. There's no difference between the Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. So the quality of the sound vibration is so transcendentally satisfying and purifying that even those who are completely detached from the material world, and that's rare, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kaschid mam veti tatvataha. Krishna says, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So those who are even thinking about self-realization are rare in this world. Those who are beyond the control of the mode's material nature is very rare also, even rarer still. And so those rare souls, when they hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they become attracted because Krishna is beyond the three modes of material nature. Tribir gunamayir bhavir ebi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, everyone's controlled by these three modes. Sattva, rajas, tamas. They're like ropes. They're gunas. They tie us down to conditional life in this world. And he's above them all. He's above those modes. When we come to the human form of life, it's like the cage door has been opened, like we're a bird. And then finally, we come to this juncture out of 8,400,000 species of life, and the cage door is open to our little bird cage, and we can fly out, we can actually go out. But due to conditioning, most souls, even in a human body, don't fly out. They get used to staying in that cage, and they say, I won't fly, I'll stay here. This is, my cage is nice, I like this where I am. Even though there's birth, death, old age, disease, I accept it. This means conditioned life. So what can wake up the soul and remind him of actually the freedom, the light of the spiritual world? Parastasmat tu bhavo nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Krishna says there's a world beyond this one that's always destroyed, where there's birth, death, old age, and disease. And he's reminding us of that. I was speaking last night, we were at a program, and there was a woman who was a neuropsychologist. And after I gave a talk, she came up to me and she said, you know, a lot of my patients, they're so traumatized by material life that when I tell them about the difference between the material life and spiritual life, they even get more depressed because I have to tell them, you know, the material world's actually a woeful place because you have to die and there's disease. And so they just even become more depressed. How can I help them? What can I say to change their hearts, to give them some encouragement to come out of their deep, deep depression? And I replied that it's not necessarily what you say. There's not a phrase or something like that that's going to wake them up particularly. But there's a vibration, the vibration from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan. The vibration coming from Goloka is so harmonious, it's so attractive, that anyone who comes in contact with the vibration begins to wake up. The soul begins to wake up. In fact, even those who are in a coma, once there was a devotee in a coma, and we all went to see her, and the doctor said, "Oh, she can't hear you." And we asked, "Well, how do you know? How do you know she can't hear us?" And so we began to chant Hare Krishna, and as soon as we chanted the vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, she responded. She didn't open her eyes, but she was making, she moved her hands, and you could tell the expression of her face changed. And the doctor was amazed, because the soul's there. It feels this vibration. It's yearning all the time for the vibration of the spiritual world and wants to experience that. And it's present. The vibration is present within the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's present within Mahaprasadam. The vibration is the same. I was telling this doctor, I was saying, you know, if you cook food, regular ingredients that you can get anywhere, but you cook it in an atmosphere where of loving devotion, where you're thinking about how to please the Supreme Lord, and you actually cook that vibration right into the grains, right into the food itself, and then if you offer it with the proper consciousness, patram pushpam palam to yam yomi bhaktya pradashati bhakti, you have some feeling for the Lord that this is all I have, this is all I can bring you. I'm an insignificant creature, but please accept this simple offering. I made it for you. And the Lord will accept it, he says. Then if someone eats that afterwards, it goes right from their mouth down into their stomach and goes into their veins, and it affects their heart. The vibration is in the food. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Mahaprasadam and the Srimad Bhagavatam, all these are from the spiritual world. And anyone can test it by hearing from them, by tasting them, by being directly connected with them. In fact, this is the proof of real spiritual life, that you can directly perceive it for yourself. That's why Krishna says, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. It's directly perceived. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, the statement comes from the Navayogendras, that bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktir anyatra traisa trika eka kala prapadyamanasya yatasnata sus tushti pushti shudapayonugasam, that a person who eats food knows for him or herself that with every bite there's nourishment, there's eradication of hunger, and there's satisfaction. You just know it. When you eat the food, you can feel it going into your system, and you feel your satisfaction. You feel it, you're becoming happy again. So same thing, the Yogendras say, when you take to this hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam and the direct process of bhakti, submissive hearing, and surrender to the Lord, then you will feel for yourself this feeling of bhakti, direct connection to Krishna. And also, just like when you're starving, hungry, and you want to eat, as you eat and you become satisfied, you don't need to eat anymore. So similarly, when you feel satisfaction from spiritual life, you don't need material satisfaction. You don't want to hear material vibrations anymore. They're not appealing at all. Just like when you're full, you don't need to eat more. So this sadyo hridyarav radrujyate means that the Lord becomes captured within the heart of the devotee who listens to the Srimad Bhagavatam, who just hears it submissively, and even without faith, that's what this verse says, even if you don't have faith, means you may not be completely convinced even what it is, but if you're not offensive and you simply submissively submit yourself to the vibration, then gradually it will have its effect. Once Prabhupada said, this is a phrase I've kept with me throughout my devotional life. It's been very helpful. He said, God helps those who help themselves. And helping oneself means to place oneself in front of transcendental sound vibration. So if you can figure out how to get in front of that vibration, how to get around that vibration, if somehow or other you can move your feet, drive your car, somehow get there, even if you don't have full faith, if you can have enough faith to just get there and be there in front of the vibration, then your heart will change. You'll make advancement in devotional service. You'll get spiritual capital. In fact, this is what the Bhagavatam says. You want to become wealthy spiritually? Srinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyan taksto hipatrani vidhunoti suritsatam. Such a wonderful statement from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second chapter called Divinity and Divine Service. Everyone should learn this chapter, all 34 verses. In fact, we have a saying here at ISV, at our temple, get the 34. Get the 34 because these 34 verses are so relevant to our advancement in devotional service. If you'll just read this chapter over and over again every day, you'll learn these 34 verses. Not only will you become an expert preacher just by knowing these verses, but your conviction and your knowledge about devotional service will be complete just with these 34. And one of the verses of the 34, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna, this kata about Krishna, it's a drink, it's a beverage, it's a medicine. By hearing it, by tasting it, then Bhagavatam says, you get punya. Punya, this is spiritual punya. This is, you've become a billionaire. Everyone wants to become wealthy and rich in this life, is looking for fortune, but they're looking in the mirage. They're looking in dry places. They're looking places where there is nothing or where it'll all be taken away. The material world, it's a trick. It's actually a trick. Those who are materialists, they're actually fools. Krishna calls them mudhas. They're like asses. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says they're like an ass. Prabhupada compares it to, what if you're walking down the street in Potomac and somebody in a big house invites you in and says, if you come in my house, I'll give you $1 million today. Not only that, I'll give you the best food you ever tasted. You can sit on my $10,000 sofa, put your feet up on my desk, and you can watch 2,000 channels of television. And you can enjoy and be happy any way you want in my house. Plus, I'll give you $1 million. And then he adds at the end, but after that, when you're finished, before you leave, I'll take away the $1 million, and then some people will run out from the back room and beat you with shoes before you leave, until you're black and blue, and then you have to leave. Will you accept it? No, but that's what the material world is. It's some promise that there's some happiness here. And even if you get it, before you go, it's all taken back, and you're beaten with shoes, and you have to leave. Ignominiously, you have to leave the body, and you have to take rebirth somewhere else beyond your control, tumbling through different species of life. This is the lamentable position of the material life. So by taking the Srimad Bhagavatam, by taking this vibration, by being in contact with devotional service, one actually transcends the process of repeated birth and death and becomes fixed in devotional service, which is beyond the touch of death. And this is the process recommended for this age. You don't have to change the position you're in. You just have to add this vibration to your life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much approved the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir. You have to become eager to hear, or at least if you're not eager, you have to know that you're taking medicine and put yourself in a position where you can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it will purify you. Here's something that might be helpful. Sometimes if you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, it can be overwhelming, right? Because it looks like there's a lot of books there. And if you look at it in its entirety, you might think, well, how would I ever read all those? So we made a little chart, and it's called Be a Sage, page by page. And it shows all the different categories, all the different books Prabhupada's written. And then it has time periods and tells you how many pages you have to read every day in order to complete each one of Prabhupada's books within a certain amount of time. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, if anybody out there wants to read it within 1 month, all you have to do is read 503 pages a day. Or if you'd like to read it within 3 months, you can read 168 pages a day. You might have to take off from work, I'm not sure. 6 months, you can read 84 pages a day. 9 months, 56 pages. 1 year, 41 pages. 2 years, 21 pages. 3 years, 14 pages. 4 years, 10.5 pages. And 5 years, 8 pages a day. There's a total of 15,119 pages in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you're going to be 5 years older in 5 years anyway. And if you take the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll get this kind of spiritual capital, this punya I'm speaking of. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Just by hearing it, just by being regularly in contact with it, even if you don't have faith, but if you're offenseless and you take it like medicine, then you'll get spiritual capital. You'll get this capital that you can spend to actually go back to the spiritual world. Not only that, while you're hearing it, this shloka says, Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyan Takstohya Padrani. All the inauspicious things within the heart become destroyed. This means these are the things that are actually blocking us from being happy. And all we have to lose is our miserable condition of life. Vidhunoti suhritsatam. It happens like automatically, practically. There's a machine in India. It's called a vidhunoti. And it's meant for purifying cotton. When cotton comes off of the vine, off of the plant, it's full of little pieces of impurity, like the pods. You need to have the fluffy white cotton separated from the seeds and also from the pod, which is very kind of sticky and hard. So they have this little shed, and they have these strings that are pulled taut within the shed. And then they throw the cotton on top of those strings, like cords. And then they close the door. And below there's baskets that will catch the fluffy cotton. And what they do is they vibrate those strings within the shed. And they vibrate it at a very high level pitch. And as they shake and as they vibrate, the cotton gets shaken at a very high rate. And all the heavy stuff, the seeds and the pod, it falls down through the wires onto the floor. And the cotton, the fluffy cotton, stays up in the upper part. So it separates out all the unwanted part. So this verse says, Vidhunoti suritsatam. Lord Sri Krishna is a surit. He's the best friend within the heart. And when you make the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like a vidhunoti. The vibration itself within your heart, within your mind and heart, it moves all the impurities out. And Krishna actually helps. He's there as the best friend. He's so pleased with the devotee who hears the vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam that he helps to selectively remove those items. Here's just an interesting side, I think it's interesting, an interesting side comment about maintaining material desires. You all know that in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and making advancement in spiritual life, one of the offenses against chanting the holy name of the Lord is to maintain material desires even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So what to do? Here's how you can tell if you're maintaining a material desire within your heart. And I realized this one day when I was thinking about the 10 offenses, and I was driving along, and I was thinking how Krishna is so kind that he'll remove these material desires from our heart if we want him to. So then I thought of some anartha in my heart, and I thought, okay, all I have to do is take it out and show it to Krishna and say, please remove it. And he'll do it. He will do it. But then another thought came into my mind, and that was, don't take it out. Don't bring that out and show it to Krishna, because if you do, then he'll remove it, and I want to keep it. It was the other voice speaking there, and I realized that this is a conflict. There's a way in which we may have some material desire, and we think, oh, I want to keep it. So then what to do? We have to pray to Krishna to have the desire to reveal that anartha to him so that he can remove it. But all this takes place automatically by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It helps us as through the vidhunoti process to actually separate out the material desires so we can see for ourselves that they're unwanted desires. Why? Because simultaneously hearing this, the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam becomes so relishable that it gives us such satisfaction that we want the material desires to go away, because they're obstructing our view of the Bhagavatam. They're obstructing our connection to that relishable vibration. So we get everything. Everything comes from Srimad Bhagavatam. If you worship Srimad Bhagavatam, if you keep it in your house, if you pull it out and you read a little bit of Srimad Bhagavatam every day, if you become an advocate of Srimad Bhagavatam, you become very dear to Krishna. This topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is so dear to Krishna that here it's saying, Sadyo Hridyavarudyate, that just by hearing it, Krishna becomes so pleased that he'll stay in your heart. He'll appear there in your heart. So what is it? What is the book? We should worship Bhagavatam. We should live in the Bhagavatam. We should promote Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a worthy cause. This is one of the five most important parts of the 64 items of devotional service. And lucky for us, we are connected to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who brought the Srimad Bhagavatam across the ocean from Vrindavan with his purports that elucidate every aspect and subtle meaning of the Bhagavatam so that we can enter deeply within it. I would say if we don't take advantage of this on a daily basis, we are missing the greatest opportunity in the human form of life. Available anywhere within the three worlds. So we can remember, we'll talk about these other processes out of the 64, these other five, in subsequent talks, but we can remember how lucky we are to have the Bhagavatam, that we should embrace it, keep it, read it, find out more about it, even if you don't know what it is, or it sounds foreign to you, or whatever. Get it, somehow be close to the Bhagavatam, even if it's sualpam, even if it's a little bit, you will feel a profound effect from the powerful vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Tat Sat. Go Primanande Hari Hari Bo. Loka?
Yeah, if people can unmute themselves by pressing star 6 to ask questions. If you have any comment or questions, you can press star 6. Maybe somebody can try so we know that it's working. What is it?
Just that the conference host has unmuted it. You muted it. We cannot. No.
Okay, let me try. Let me try it unmuting it, sir. This is the first time we are trying, sir. Yeah, I'm trying to unmute the call, sir.
Hare Krishna.
For some reason it is not allowing me to unmute it again. Let me try it again. I'm trying to unmute it, so please be there. Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
There you go. Hi, everybody. Hare Krishna.
Sorry about that.
I was feeling intense separation for a while. I'm sorry we lost a few people, though.
Yeah, actually, I'm here. I'm Sumita here.
Hare Krishna, Sumita.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I have a doubt. In what all ways do we feel envy towards God?
Could you repeat that, please?
In what all different ways do we feel envy towards God?
Look, I couldn't understand.
Yeah, in what ways do we feel envy for God in our hearts?
How do we feel envy for God within our heart?
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about envy in general in the first place. You can understand envy by looking at it before you talk about how we have envy for God. Because practically, from the material, from where we're coming from, it's very hard for us to even understand the concept of God. But envy, we can see we have might have envy for other people, for starters. Just what is envy? There's a way in which if we see other people doing well, then if I think that I'm unhappy when I see someone else doing well, and I wish they weren't doing as well as they were doing, this is called envy. In fact, hold on 1 second, because I'm going to read you something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur about this. 1 second. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book called Sharanagati, and it's about the process of surrender. This envy actually is such a good question that you asked, because this is the root cause of our material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Icha dvesha samutena dvandava mohena bharata, that we have this desire and feeling of hatred in our heart from material life. And here it is. I'll just read you a few shlokas from the Sharanagati by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he's speaking as if he's a conditioned soul. He's feeling this very lowly position out of extreme humility called Dainya, and it illustrates this meaning of what it means to feel envious. So here it is. He writes, "My life is ever given to sin. In it there is not a particle of good. I have caused others great anxiety and have troubled all souls. For the sake of my own enjoyment, I have never hesitated to perform sinful acts. Devoid of all compassion, I am concerned only with my selfish interests. Perpetually speaking lies, I become dejected upon seeing others happy, whereas the misery of others is a source of great delight for me. There are limitless desires, material desires within the core of my heart. I am wrathful, fond of exhibiting arrogance, intoxicated by vanity, and bewildered by worldly affairs. I wear the cherished ornaments of envy and egotism. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds. Yet I am very enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For the sake of worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. I am victimized by my own greed, being always lustful. A vile, wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender. Devoid of all good works, forever inclined toward evil, he is worn out and wasted by various misery. Now in old age, deprived of all means of relief, thus humbled and poor, Bhaktivinoda submits his tale of grief at the feet of the Supreme Lord." So, in general, this is the affliction of the material world, and that is that feeling of envy, that it's a closedness of the heart. It means that I want something for myself, and for others, I don't want anything. But devotional service opens the heart like the sky and makes us feel generous. because we understand that the more we give to Krishna, the more we give to others, this is actually, I'm part and parcel of Krishna, and I become satisfied and happy by giving and giving. So devotional service really means a life of giving to others, and the life of envy means keeping for myself, trying to hold on to some paltry little existence. And this enviousness, this is the root cause of material life. So we can understand it, that we have that envy for God, by seeing it if it's there even for other living beings. And as we become purified in devotional service, especially doing Sankirtan, it's such a wonderful activity to go out and give others an opportunity to take Krishna consciousness, that envy becomes purified from our heart. Krishna will help us. Was that okay, Sumita?
Hello?
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. That was very well answered, actually.
Hello? Good. Anything else, Loka?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I have one question. This is Vanamali Krishna Das here.
Hare Krishna Vanamali Krishna Prabhu.
Prabhuji, as you were mentioning that daily we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam or hear Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Prabhuji, my question is since we are also in this material world, like I am in the Grihastha Ashram and I am doing a job and all. So I know that I have to have a specific set of sadhana. I have to read Bhagavatam, I have to learn bhajans, I have to learn some shlokas. But then what is happening is in the everyday, I cannot maintain the consistency. Like the strictness doing this activity is not there, Prabhuji. How to get the steadiness and how to get the determination to keep the steadiness?
Well, one thing is that while we're in this stage of life as a grihastha, you have many duties, it's sometimes a little more difficult to remain, to maintain a very, very steady sadhana, the same thing every day. But if you make sure, even throughout parts of your day, that you finish your sadhana, that it will have its effect also. So innovate. Like if you're going to hear, you can hear it in the in-between parts. Like when you're driving to work or when you're traveling and there's always breaks that you have during your day, you take in some of your sadhana. I have a friend who worked as a paramedic for many years, and he had a very difficult schedule because he'd have to work sometimes 2 days in a row with no sleep, and then he'd get waken up for calls at different times. And he made sure that he brought his, reading with him. So when he had a break and he had some time, he could read in the break. Getting determination, first of all, any kind of determination usually comes from good association. If you associate with people that have good sadhana regularly, you'll also pick that up. That's one very important thing to do. And the other thing is organize your life. Like I have this chart I told you about, be a sage page by page. You should have some goals about how much you're going to do every day, and you should keep a score so you can see it practically on paper how much you're doing. That's why we chant on japa beads. We can count how many we're doing, because then you'll know if you're increasing or decreasing. So you should do that with all your sadhana. Keep a record, a little chart of how many pages a day you read. And this is very authorized. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natabi Kalavasani Krito. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan did this. They kept a record of how many times they'd bow down, how many times they'd read. So you do that, and remember this principle, su'alpa, even if it's a tiny bit, don't be discouraged. Even if you can only do one shloka a day, that's okay too. It will grow from there. Okay?
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Very well, Prabhu, I had a question.
Yes, Loka.
Many times we feel that, especially when we are starting out, that I have not read Bhagavad Gita or other elements, books, and how can I start reading Bhagavatam? And so, can you put some light on that?
Well, to start anything, the best thing to do is just to start. And if you start from beginning, then the first canto is so introductory and so general and will give you an entrance into the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm. That's one thing. And, you know, you have to start somewhere. You have to start sometime. So if you start a little bit at a time, a journey begun is half done. So if you just start it, then you can go from there. Prabhupada's books are all cross-referenced. When you start reading Bhagavatam, you'll also find Bhagavad Gita within the purports. And actually, it'll give greater impetus to know and read Bhagavad Gita as well, because it's brought in such a way that you can see how relevant the Bhagavad Gita is.
So what does it have to wait till they finish?
No, don't wait. Yeah. Don't wait for anything, because life is short. We don't know how much time we have left, and we should begin making advancement as quickly as possible. So that's why I'm bringing to light these five things. Out of 64, the Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely important. So if you can get some connection with Bhagavatam on a regular basis, do it. It's recommended directly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you should take the Srimad Bhagavatam. So don't hesitate. Take it. Any way you can get it in, start taking doses. It's medicine. Take it. Nivritta-tarsha-rupa-giyamana bhavaushadas chotra-mano-birama. It will cure the disease. You'll make advancement if you do it.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. This is Ganeshan here.
Hare Krishna Ganeshan Prabhu.
Is the Bhagavatam by any of, is it available on a CD, the most of the time where I literally feel that I'm wasting the time is when I drive to work.
Acha. Yeah, there's a recording of just the translations.
Okay.
And that, Amla Bhakta lives in Los Angeles. Probably Loka can help you track him down. If he doesn't know where he is, I can help Loka, and he can give you the information where you can get that CD.
Okay.
And so you can listen to the shlokas, yes.
But just the shloka side, is there a purport there that explains?
Nobody's done the whole purport. That would be a very, very long project. actually, they're working on it now, though, at the BBT. But I wouldn't wait for that. One thing that I do regularly that I would recommend that you try is get a recording device. And when you read into the recorder and then load it onto your iPod. So you get double duty that way. Whenever you're reading and studying, read and record. And then when you're on your way to work, you can listen to what you just read. Do you have a recording device?
Okay, that seems to be a good way.
Yeah,
and,
try that.
One more question is that, the five, you talked about reading Bhagavatam. One interesting point is that, Bhagavad Gita is supposed to be something the God himself, basically directly told. And, Bhagavad Gita is not there in one of the five, but Srimad Bhagavatam is there. Is there kind of, an observation that you can make on that?
Well, first of all, they're non-different. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, there's no difference, actually. But there's a special quality to Bhagavatam because, in one sense, it's more intimate. It's a postgraduate study of the Bhagavatam. It's going into a little more detail than the Bhagavad Gita, but it's the same. It's the same vibration spoken by the Lord from the spiritual world. Same effect is there, just more detail in the Bhagavatam.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Loka Prabhu, I think I've kept everyone long enough.
No, Prabhu, one more question.
Okay.
Who
is this?
Sumita here, Prabhu.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Sumita. Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. The question is, how do you define intelligence in the spiritual world?
That's described by Rupa Goswami. He gives a very famous verse. And if you don't have this, you should all get it. I can talk to Loka about how everyone there can get this book, but it's called The Selected Shlokas of Srila Prabhupada. Do all the devotees have that book, Loka?
No, no problem.
then we should make arrangement that all the devotees there should have this book at home, because then you can look up these shlokas. Very
okay.
important. There's a verse, Sumita, given by Rupa Goswami. It starts, Kama dinam katina katida palita dur nideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashanti utsri jaita nata yarupate sampratam labda buddhis. So he makes this phrase, labda buddhi. So you know labda means to gain something, and buddhi means intelligence. So he says in this very wonderful shloka that he's asking the question, in how many ways and how many times have I given in to the bad masters of my senses? He says the senses have been my masters in this material world, life after life after life, and they're dictating, and they're telling me, give me this, give me that. And he says, never have they given me peace. Never have they given me time off. Never have they showed me mercy. They're just bad masters, and they always demand from me. But he says, now my intelligence, my spiritual intelligence has awakened, labdha buddhi. And now, he says, because of this awakening of intelligence, I don't want to serve these bad masters anymore. I want to approach the Lord and his representatives, and I want to ask for personal service from them. Because we have to serve someone. In the material world, the rule is you have to serve your senses. So when your spiritual intelligence awakens, it will tell you, no, don't serve the bad masters. Actually serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Try to get some service. So if you have intelligence that's dictating to you to get some service, and that you can understand this is the most valuable thing, this is an awakening of spiritual intelligence. It's coming from Krishna within the heart out of extreme good fortune. If you have that intelligence, it means you have extreme good fortune. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Prabhu.
You're very welcome.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
This is Padmamalani Dasi.
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for a really nice class. I came in late, so I'm not sure I caught it all, but I wanted to ask you two things. One is that you mentioned, I think it was 34 slokas?
34?
Or
I don't
35?
Know. Tell me. Oh, yeah, the 34. That's the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam called Divinity and Divine Service.
Oh, okay.
So it's good to memorize that chapter.
Okay. Thank you. And when you were mentioning about tracking sadhana, do you have a particular form that you use that you find works that you would be willing to share, or
yes,
do you think that
I'm willing to share? Sharing means caring. we have these forms we use here at ISV that the devotees have these tracking cards, so I can send to Loka and he can distribute to everybody. And
okay,
I also have
you.
This little form. Loka, if you could remind me.
Yes.
And I also have this form called Be a Sage, page by page. That it will be very encouraging, because if you look at it, it will show you how many pages you have to read each day of each book. And
okay,
one trick that I use is I buy these little tabs from Office Depot. They're little tab markers that you can put in the book. They're semi-sticky. And if you have to read 6 pages a day of some book, you write on that tab with a Sharpie, 6. And then you can mark your place where you're reading from. And then every time you open that book, then you know I have to read 6 more pages or 10 more pages or whatever it is. It's very helpful.
Very nice. Thank you. Really appreciate all your tips and your sharing. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Hare Krishna. Nice talking to you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, I think we'll end it here so that we don't go over time.
Thank you very much, everybody. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vanja Kalpa Turubyascha Krupa Sinabhyeva Chapatitana.